Well, good morning to you all, and welcome to our service this morning. And a welcome back to the Reverend Bill Ross, who's conducting the service today. Atty, some of you will know this, but not everybody. Atty is, as part of his familiarisation process with the Church of Scotland, he's gone to observe the General Assembly in Edinburgh, and we suspect he may have been in the exalted company of the moderator and other Hygeians at the service in St Giles this morning in the High Street in Edinburgh. So Atty is having this Sunday and next Sunday off, but he'll be back with us a fortnight today. At the end of the service, as always, there's a cup of tea and coffee served through in the hall, and you're very welcome, if you're free to do so, to come and have a cup with us and a chat with us. And I should have said, if you're visiting with us this morning, and I know we have some visitors, we're very pleased to see you, and we hope you enjoy your time of worship with us. There's a good number of notices on the bulletin, one or two others that are not on the bulletin, but could I draw your attention to the Songs of Praise service that is happening next Sunday evening in Urquhart, our regular monthly service there. And we're doing this again. We did it a few months ago. It was successful, and Andrew Kirkby has kindly agreed to prepare the service again. So if you've got a favourite hymn that you would like to be sung at the service, provided you're prepared to stand up and say why it's your favourite hymn, it doesn't need to be a long sermon, just, you know, a few sentences will do, then do come and I'll speak to Andrew and let him know, and Andrew is arranging the programme for that. Another couple of things. We've been very busy this week with Christian Aid, so thanks to all of those who've been supporting Christian Aid in any way. A notice from Sheila saying very many thanks for all the donations of baking and for your attendance at the coffee morning last Wednesday at the primary school in Lambride. Just over £300 was raised. She's asking if people could please collect their empty baking tins and boxes from the table in the large hall. There's also a basket on the welcome table at the back for seed boxes, and Sheila will take the door-to-door envelopes from those who have been doing the Christian Aid collection. Also at the back of the church are books of prayers for sale for Christian Aid, and there are angels. I think angels for sale. I don't think they're real angels. I think there's angels for sale on the coffee worktop. And also in the small hall, there's some bits and pieces left over from the ring and buy sale. So you can come and buy if you come through afterwards for that. And finally, just a notice from Meg, actually, who visited Yvonne in hospital yesterday. Yvonne Pearson, as you know, has been in hospital for quite some time. She feels she's turned a corner, and she's very appreciative of all the visits she's had, but she asks if today, please, if you'd thought of visiting Yvonne, not to visit her today, because family are coming through from Aberdeen to see her, and she'd like to have that time with her family. So I'm sure we will understand that, and we'll continue to pray for Yvonne, and we hope to see her back with us very soon. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to be back with you again. I had an email from Sinclair. He says, Dear Bill, sorry I can't be at Lambride, but I have to go to St Giles this morning and preach. I'm just kidding. They'll be sorry they're not here with us, but we pray indeed that for God's wisdom for the assembly and for whatever is happening with them. Arise, shine, for the light of the world has come. Darkness covers the earth and its people, but the radiance of God's light burns away its shadows, illuminates the smallest corner, and heralds the start of a new dawn. We open our worship this morning. This is one of the hymns. If you're at the assembly, it's really lovely when you have such a volume of people together. We're going to sing hymn number 35, O Send Thy Light Forth and Thy Truth, that them be lights to me. 35. Friends, let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we've come this morning to this quiet place where generations have come, to be together around your word, to be quiet, to be still, to ask you to replenish us from the week that we've passed. We're here to listen to your word, to bring you the concerns of our hearts, but most of all, to join together in fellowship. And so we ask that you would speak to us through your word, our hymns, our prayers, and even in the silence of this place. Give us ears to hear, hearts to listen, and lives prepared to do your will. Lord, it's Sunday morning, and we're drawn here to worship your creation facing its creator, our hearts laid bare in your light, humbly asking you for mercy. We come to you as people in need of assurance and forgiveness, as people in need of healing and wholeness. We come, dear Lord, dependent on your love. Draw us close, enfold us in your arms, and fill us with your spirit, that we might reflect your light within this dark world. Speak your word with boldness and draw others to your feet, because we ask it in the name of your Son, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we're in church terms, we're in that quiet place between Jesus has been crucified, he's risen, the disciples are in the upper room, the door's locked, they're afraid of what the establishment is going to do to them. 2 weeks' time we meet and we're told the Holy Spirit comes. So the Spirit is actually here, but in church terms, we're in that quiet place at the moment, and that's what we're thinking about. And I think one of the things that seems to give an awful lot of people concern is, what does it mean, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And if I take the three jars of water, they're different sizes because I couldn't get three the same, but it's just water in them. Okay, so in the first one, if I just leave that there, that's water. If I took this one and put it in the freezer, it would go into ice. So it's still water, but it's in a different form. It's a solid. If I put this one in the kettle and switch the kettle on, eventually it would go into steam. But it'd still be water. So we can see that when we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three need it. It's rather like an egg. It'd be very difficult for a chicken to lay an egg without the shell. And it'd be very difficult to have a shell without the white stuff and the yellow stuff in it. So they need the three as well. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I have to go to the Father. You'll be left, the gospel spread by you. But it's not our intelligence, it's not our thing. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So it's here. I think most of us think that we made the decision to become a Christian. But in actual fact, the Bible says, no one cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw. So you were hearing the word, you were thinking about the word, and then one day you made that decision. So the Holy Spirit was drawn. But you only have to look at the disciples before Pentecost and the disciples after Pentecost and realize that they hadn't had a double bowl of muesli or oatmeal that morning. There's something different about them. There's a power in them that they didn't have before. And that's what Jesus was saying. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to look at when we come to the sermon is, but I will but stay in the city till you're empowered from on high. Now, you're allowed to have a wee smiling face. Orders of services, and look at them. Everybody's got one. Right? And if you look at, I think it's on the back page. Right? We'll read it through first. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink from the water, I will pour out my Spirit on my sons and my daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. And the tune goes like this. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink from the water, I will pour out my Spirit on my sons and my daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Now you have a smiling face and we'll sing it. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink from the water, I will pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. So we're looking at it, but we know that Pentecost has been, that the Holy Spirit has been given, and the church is needing to maybe start thinking about using that power that God has. So. Right. Now we join together in our second hymn, Holy Spirit, hear us, help us while we sing, breathe into the music of the praise we bring.
The first reading today is from Kings, chapter 18, reading from verses 41 to 44. And if you want to look on the Pew Bible, it's on page 360. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." And the second reading is from Luke chapter 24, reading from verses 44 to 49. And this is on page 1062. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Amen.
Never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. 676. Let's bring our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and the freedom that we have to open it today. And so as we do, we ask that you would open our heart and our ears, that we might hear and believe in him whom you've sent. We pray especially this morning for the General Assembly, and those who would be speaking, for the things that are being proposed, that they would be in line with your word, Lord, that you would bring glory to your Son through the things that are happening. We pray for our church. We pray for those who I do not know are in a weary position, those who have lost loved ones, who are hanging on to your promise that you will be with them and sustain them. We pray for those who have had a good week, a joyful week, a time to rejoice. And whatever we've been in, Lord, whatever is in store for us, remind us that you're the one who's promised to walk with us. So as we open your word, help us to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds as he could understand the scripture, and he told them,
This is what is written. The Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are the witness to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city till you've been clothed with power from on high. I'd like us to use these disciples in this story as a comparison and see if there's anything that we can see to our advantage in our spiritual lives. We know that the disciples' response to the death of Jesus was total devastation. They were hiding behind closed doors in the safety of their own quarters. And yet at the end of our text, we're told that these same disciples, fear had turned to boldness, their confusion to conviction, their troubled spirits to joy. And we need to remind ourselves that this is not Pentecost. That's still to come. But it's a necessary preparation for Pentecost. We can see there's a very simple instruction being given by Jesus to his disciples. Those who stay in the city are going to receive something. Those who leave the city will not. So what can we learn then from this? We look at the rise of the house church, the fellowships, and it's plain to see that there are men and women who are doing what they think is correct, rather than doing what's been directed to do by God. They've left the city before they've been equipped to do so. In another way, it may seem to many in the church today that the church is still in this city with the doors locked. The national church, our local churches. Many would say that the church today is more worried about politically correct procedures than faith and obedience to the Word of God. We're very good at constructing programs, making assessments, writing out protocols, but they're direct to protect us from the secular world in which we live, rather than penetrate it with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of home and family, we've preoccupied ourselves with the thought, with the worry, can we say this? If I do, what am I liable to? We are, I suspect, very much like the disciples. But the good news is that it's not hopeless or incurable, because the Bible shows that no matter how troubled and doubting the disciples were, they were transformed into men and women of joy, of boldness and worship, so that we can say that whatever it was that held these disciples, it was curable. What then transformed them almost invisible? Disciples after the death of Christ into a force that turned the world they lived in upside down. And can we see that information for ourselves and for our church today? Luke's account of the last days of the Lord on earth are more thorough than the account given by Matthew. But in his account of the first chapter of Acts, they're even more detailed. And I think that Luke's purpose is not to tell us all that happened in these 40 days. I'm sure there are many who would love to know what happened, dot the I's, stroke the T's, and know everything that happened, but it's not important. What we need to know is that Jesus is risen from the dead, and that It's all in accordance with what the Old Testament said. So Luke's account is on what took place in Jerusalem. And it's not enough. So then he goes on and writes the Acts of the Apostles to see what happened in Galilee. So while Jesus is referred to the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture, Luke's account and report of the words tell us what to look for and where. Jesus was really risen from the dead, and they believed it. Because the word startled tells us that the disciples were caught off their guard. And once the evidence was grasped by the disciples, their troubled spirits turned to joyfulness. So Jesus' first words were, "Peace be with you." And that's the same word to you and me and to every one of us. You're maybe not sure about the future. You may be concerned, but please remember that the peace of God is closely associated with his presence. The peace of God and the presence of God are virtually inseparable. At first, the disciples believed Jesus was a ghost. How could they believe that? Well, it was easier for the disciples to believe in a ghostly Jesus than in a Jesus who was literally and physically present. And the issue really came down to belief or unbelief. If our belief and our behavior don't match, we can talk the talk. But if we don't walk the walk, then the two things are not needed. As it was for the disciples, so it is for us. The insufficient belief of the disciples at the appearance of our Lord is very similar to the insufficient belief of many today. If you go around the community, if you go around the area and speak, many would quickly admit that Jesus is in some sense alive. He's in spirit, in our heart. Not unlike the way in which the memory of those loved ones who have died lives within us. But he's not viewed to be physically raised from the dead and present in his people today. So how can we remedy that? Well, many today are suggesting renewal, but that's not what we need. In fact, that's the reason why we're in the state we are today. We need to be revived, not renewed. What's the difference? When you remove, you clear the site and take everything away and start from scratch again. When you revive, you take what's there and make it better and make sure it's secure. And that's what needed with God's word today. There are many, many people who are trying to suggest that the gospel that you and I were brought up with, that we knew from children, is not sufficient. We need to go into a different place, into a different thought. We know that it was not until after his resurrection that the disciples were able to understand all that the prophets had spoken. Yes, God said in Genesis, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." The fact that the Messiah would die for the sin of all who believed, Jew or Gentile, is one of the greatest irritations for a Jew, because they do not see themselves as sinners because of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And they would always be focused on how the blessing should come to them, and they try to limit to them to themselves. But Luke's telling us Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witness to these things. That was a great commission, but in order for the gospel to be claimed, to be proclaimed to every nation beginning in Jerusalem, they needed to be empowered with power, which is why Jesus told the disciples, "Don't go forward until you've received the power that he would provide through the Spirit. The one who commanded the disciples to be his Spirit is the one who will provide the work and power needed." It's when I read the Gospel of Luke and then the book of Acts, I understand why the disciples felt and acted as they did in the Gospel of Luke. I can even grasp how their feelings and actions changed by the time they get to the book of Acts. And that's the problem for our national church today. We need to undergo the same change of heart, mind, and action that the disciples did. I think our problem is that in spite of all we know about Jesus, we're still living with the disciples back in that upper room when we should be living in the Acts of the Apostles. The faith of the disciples in their Lord and Master was not in question. They'd received their commission, they were ready to obey, but their work had to wait until they received the gift of the power through the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that the gift of power is what the Church of Jesus Christ needs more today than anything else. We're satisfied with the state of things now. Sadly, many people are. Have we reason to be satisfied? No. If you think of our own congregation, best known to you, we have a great variety of talents and gifts for the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Do you lack organization? No. Thanks to the tireless work of the many who organize. What more then do we need? Holy Spirit power. If our church had really received the baptism of the Spirit with power, it would make a difference in the town or in the district in which we live. It would shake our parish, but we don't have that power. Nobody asks the big question when it arises in the local council meetings. What did the Kirk session say about this matter? And nobody says it in the Kirk, for our parish did that or brought that reform to pass. No. Yet the man and the men with Paul turned Ephesus upside down. What we need most is not organization. We have all we need, but we need the holy heaven-sent power so that we may not simply teach a lesson, but by our words, carried with conviction into the souls of the folk we will meet. Now we have discs, lovely mixed choir music, singing of various things. In so many places today, people say to me, "Oh no, we're not going back to the Presbyterian. We're free to worship." But you know, dear friends, I cannot hear the heavenly dove spreading his wings as they worship, unlike what we heard earlier on as we were singing. What we need is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, so that the message of our songs may be winged to many a heart and used to the work of grace of God. I believe it's the same for you here in this church. You know, it's true, we pray when we're worried. We pray when we're concerned. We pray when we're in a vacancy. Can we still pray when we're at peace, when we're through? I believe because of what's happened in the last few months, you could so easily retreat into the upper room, close the door, when what you need to do is the very opposite. Yes, you have your minister, but dear friends, now it's time to take the door off the hinges and throw it away. But the real danger is that many will be tempted to do the opposite. Oh, he's here. He can do that. He can organize that. In the King's passage that we read, the seventh time the servant repeated, and then he said, a cloud as small as Haman's hand is rising from the sea. And so Elijah said, go and tell him, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Jean Darnell, many, many years ago, gave a prophecy. The fire would start from the north and spread. Do you remember that Kitchener poster from the First World War? Your country needs you. God wants every one of us to be empowered to go. There were other villages on Lewis, but God only chose Barvis. How would you feel if revival passed us by because we were too afraid to be used by him? Dear friends, you know I love you, but you could be so comfortable just sitting back and let Adi do the work. Please, please don't do that. You've come so far in the ministry of all believers to be put back in a box. The desire of every shepherd is for their lambs to mature. Why? So that they can produce more lambs. Not be independent, but for the flock to increase. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, we started by saying, stay in the city till you've been clothed from power on high. You've been clothed from power on high. The door is open. And the invitation is for us to go forward as a community, as a believers, together. There's something great waiting to happen. I can feel it. I really, really feel it for you, that you're on the edge of something, but you have to keep going and believe in yourselves as well. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We joined together in hymn 396, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?
Thank you.
Our offering will now be uplifted. Please be seated. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we lay this offering before you with full and grateful hearts as we recall the many things which you give to us each day. People to love and be loved by. Our home, our food, our clothes. As we think of the world in which we live, where so many have so little. Lord, we are indeed blessed. We ask that you would be with us as we go from here into the week and what is before us. Whatever is there, Lord, help us to know your presence and to help us to be your people. And may others that will look and see, may they know we've been together with you. We live in a very troubled world where there's so much bitterness, so much hatred. Lord, please help us to show your peace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn today is 765. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious? Oh, how blessed to call him mine. Now, my dear friends, may you go from this house in the sure and certain knowledge of the love of Christ Jesus. May he uplift you when you grow weary. May he support you when you grow tired. May he be forever near you all the days of your life. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you have loved, now and forevermore.